Tonight I'd like to invite you to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1.
Ruth 1:1 reads this way. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening asking and, Lord, thanking you for your mercy and your grace to each and every one of us, and asking you, Lord, to bless your word tonight to us, that we might have your understanding, Lord, that you might reveal to us the truths that you have for us this evening, that you would strengthen the faith that you've given to us, and Lord, that we might grow in your grace, and then, Lord, be the witnesses that you've called us to be by your power of your great love and mercy that you've given to us and to the whole world. So, Lord, bless and build your church tonight with your truths, and may we worship you in spirit and truth to your honor and glory and our blessing, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply The Amazing Story of Ruth. The Amazing Story of Ruth. And we're going to see some things that are amazing tonight that concerns the book of Ruth here. But the first thought here, we'll go through the points. The first point is going to be Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. And then the unexpected. And then the last thought will be the plan of God. There are things that happen in life that are unexpected, and yet there is the plan of God that is it's interwoven. It's unexpected to us, never unexpected to God. Amen? So we can rest assured things may happen to us that are unexpected, never to the Lord. And so as we consider this tonight, let's just consider the book of Ruth just for a moment here. And if you know who Ruth is, she is a Moabite, right? And if you know who the Moabites are, they are the descendants of the oldest daughter of Lot having a baby with him, and they became the Moabites. Wow. Would you ever begin to even imagine that God would say, you know what, I'm going to bring my son through this lineage? Isn't that amazing how God works? He takes the unexpected. Aren't you glad that no human being is God? No, that God doesn't think like we think, because we would say, oh, unfit, unclean. No way in a million years would we ever think about using a woman like that. Brother Roger made a comment to me on the way out about our text this morning concerning the woman at the well. She was a despised woman. What did you say exactly, Brother Roger? You remember what you said to me? She was just a woman that was not desirable, right? She was an undesired individual that people looked down on. And God used her to tell all these people in her hometown to get saved about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing the tools that God will use? Well, let's just look a little bit further before we get into our story here. Hold your place right here, and let me invite you to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, just for a moment. I want you to see something here in this lineage of Ruth and who she is. Well, we do know that she was a Moabite, and what the descendant was there of Moab, how they came about. But I want you to think about something here as we look to the book of Matthew chapter 1. They're coming down into Moab, and there's trouble in Bethlehem. Now, I wonder why they couldn't go somewhere else. We'll discuss that here in just a moment, in the area where Israel was at, because I don't know if the famine was everywhere, but we'll look at that here in just a moment. And so here they are, and it was in the days that the judges ruled. So it wasn't in the time where, you know, they would cycle out, they would fall into sin, and there was no judge, and every man did that which was right in their own eyes. And then God would raise up a judge. And so let's consider the timing. I'm going to just give you an estimate, presumption, that it's going to be during the beginning of the times of the judges, and we're going to see why here in just a moment. If you're there in the book of Matthew chapter 1, I want you to drop down there to verse 5, and notice this. Salmon begot, it says Boaz right there is who it is, and of who? Of Rahab. Can you imagine that? She was the harlot. This is the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only God would choose somebody that the world says is unfit, somebody that you wouldn't want. And by the way, listen, Moab, let's just look at Naomi was a Gentile. She was not a Jewish individual, and Rahab was a Gentile as well. She was not of the people of Israel. So imagine that God saw fit to choose this. Now watch, it gets even better. So again, verse 5, Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. That was his mother. And so we know that that Joshua, when the walls came down at Jericho, so Rahab coming into Israel, and then Salmon, which is her husband, married her. So it had to be sometime in the beginning, during the time of the early part of the time of Judges, because now here's Boaz, and then he's brought forth, and of course grows up. And so it could have been a little bit further in, but I would just say it's probably in the first half of that time of the time of Judges. And so again, Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begat, this gets good, David the king, and the king and David the king begat Solomon. Isn't that wonderful? But wait a minute. Of her that had been the wife of Urias. Isn't that amazing? So God used a bad relationship and made it right. God, listen, the reason for that was because David repented of his sin and God was not done with David. Isn't that amazing? Listen, he was guilty of adultery. And he was guilty of conspiring for murder and ultimately murder. Isn't that amazing? And God said, this is the lineage from which my son's going to come through. You know what? You know what's so good about that? It gives you and I hope. Listen, God is a merciful and loving God. And it doesn't matter where we've come to or where we've gotten ourselves, what we've gotten ourselves into. If we will repent and turn to the Lord says, you belong to me. And your sins are you believe the Lord cast away David's sin? How far did he cast them? The Bible says as far as the east is from the west. And I want to remind you, if you go east, you can go all the way around the world. You'll never hit west. You can keep going around as many times as you want to. You'll still be traveling east. So as far as the east is from the west, that's a pretty far way. That's an eternal distance. Amen. You're never going to get there. And so praise the Lord for God's mercy and grace. Okay, let's go back to the book of Ruth and we'll get into our text here and see some more amazing things as we consider what the Lord did in the life of Ruth and all of the family of Naomi. And let's pick up there. So verse 2 says this. So let's look at verse 1 again. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. Now, so this place, Bethlehem, is called the house of bread. But what happened was there was a famine there. And they were looking for another place to go. Now let's give the husband credit here, because he could have just gone himself and left his family there in Bethlehem, but he took his family with him. And that's not a bad thing. Now the Israelites may have looked at that and said, why are you leaving Israel to of all places go to Moab? You know what kind of people they are. Kind of like the Samaritans, right? You know the kind of people they are. Listen, they're castaways. You're not to be with them. So we find here verse 2, it says, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And as you consider this, their names mean sick and pining. So both of these are not in good health. And so, or not the best of health anyway, or at least their names indicate that. And so they're Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. So this is basically the house of bread. And now we're going to get here into the unexpected realm here. So they're coming there to sojourn there for a while. I think their plan was to outweigh the famine, outweigh it, and then go back into Bethlehem, back to their home, right? So something changes right here. Verse 3, it says, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, he dies. He died. That was not expected. And some people might be thinking, they are way out of the will of God. There's something, a problem. But wait, Ruth is down there. Amen? And God had a plan. Did God have a plan for Ruth? Amen. When did that plan come up? In eternity past. Amen? In eternity past. Who knows the mind of God? How amazing, how jaw-dropping to even consider how what God would decide to use. And praise the Lord for his decisions, amen, and for the way that he works and gives hope to each and every one of us. So he dies, and she was left and her two sons. So now here are the two sons, verse 4, and they took them wives of the woman of Moab. Now, listen, obviously, you know, things are changing, and now all of a sudden they get, I guess, attracted to these two women. And I would say that was not the plan of Elimelech and Naomi. I am sure that they would really want them to marry Hebrews, right? To stay, keep it all right. And yet now she's without her husband, and these are obviously married men of marrying age. And so they take them wives of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. That's good. So now this is not just a little wait couple, 2-3 years. 10 years they're there. And what happens there? Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So now a more unexpected events take place. Maybe she thought, okay, you know, I like my daughters-in-law. In fact, I would dare say she loved her daughters-in-law, and she cared about them. And so she said, okay, let's go ahead and make a family here, and let's let them have children, and I'll be their grandmother and love them and raise them up and teach them about the Lord. I will just conjecture on my part. I believe she never turned her back on her God. I believe she, even though she was out of her home, I believe she made an impression about the God of Israel in the lives of her two daughter-in-laws. So now there's nothing. Now there's no husbands, there's no sons, and now there's a problem. So they died. And look at verse 6. Then she arose, because they're gone, and she has nothing left. There's no reason for her to stay there. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread, the house of bread. You remember that? He's giving them bread now. They're having food to eat. And so she hears this. Whose timing is all this? Isn't that amazing? Look at the timing. No reason to stay here now. What was God doing? See, God was not only bringing Naomi back home, God was bringing Ruth into the family to follow after the God of the Hebrews. Isn't that amazing? To be grafted and brought into that lineage and also into the lineage of the Messiah. So here's this situation. So this is just amazing when you stop and contemplate and think about, look at the mind of God. Who would have ever thought this kind of a plan up other than the Lord? Amen. For the glory of God and for the blessing of all of his people. Aren't you blessed to know what a loving, compassionate, forgiving, long-suffering Savior you and I have? So look at verse 7. So he says, wherefore, because of that situation when she had heard that the Lord had visited Israel and giving them bread, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Now, they're going there. They know what the purpose is. They're following their mother-in-law, and they know what they're doing. They're going back. They both know where she's headed. Listen, girls, I've got news. There's blessings of the Lord back in Israel. I'm going back there. And they were following her. But all the while, in the mind of Naomi, she was thinking, they can't come with me. There's no reason for them to come with me. They'll be strangers in the land. But what they didn't realize is she had become at least the family of Ruth. See, she looked to her, and I believe she made a good, godly impression. They saw the sweet love of God in the life of Naomi, and they were drawn. At least they had a relationship there that they enjoyed, because it was a very difficult thing for them, for at least Orpah, to part. So Naomi, verse 8, says to her, says unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord, listen to this, the Lord deal kindly with you. Where is Naomi's heart and mind? What is she thinking about? The blessing of the Lord. Do you see that? She has not forgotten her God. She says, I want you to know all the blessings come from who? the Lord Jehovah, God Almighty. It comes from him. It's not in the gods of Moab, but he says that she says that the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. Would you say there was a loving relationship there between these ladies? Absolutely. They loved one another. Verse 9. The Lord grant you. So what's on the heart and mind of Naomi? What is the big emphasis? What is her big focal point? Is it not the Lord? She gets news from who? That the Lord is blessing. And now she's saying, listen, what I want the Lord to do for you. And so this was all genuine with her. Verse 9, the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. So she wants them to get remarried. That's what she wants them to do. She wants them to be happy. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. That's a good statement. Both of them had the desire to go back. Now, I want you to know, one made the decision to go and actually go, Ruth, obviously. The other one didn't. But at least to begin with, she had such a relationship that she considered and even made the decision, we're going to go with you. That's what we read right there. So, verse... In fact, look at verse 10 again. They said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Verse 11, and Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Who is she thinking about? She's thinking about them. What does Naomi see in her? Nothing. She has nothing to give them. Oh, but wait, there's a near kinsman. Amen? That she's not, it's not even, doesn't even register on her mind. Because, how would she even know that he would want to redeem her? How would he raise up seed to her? How would she even know that that would even be a plan? But God knew. God knew the plan. So she says, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb? So what is she thinking about? Husbands for them, that they may be your husbands. Is there any more? No, there's no more. She's older now. Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. And she's speaking to both of them. For I am too old to have an husband. She says, you know what she's saying? I'm not getting married. It's just, I'm not, so I can't do that. And if I should say, now let's just consider the idea, even if I did, if I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, let's just speed up everything. If I was even to be able to get married tonight, which was never going to happen, and should also bear sons in one night, if that was even possible, would you tarry for them till they were grown? I mean, you got another, at least, please, 18, 20 years before they would even, and then, well, how old would that make them? So this is not working out right. Would you stay for them from having husbands? In other words, you're going to waste all this time and wait. Now, look at her line of thought thinking, and look where God was coming from. So she says, nay, my daughters, verse 13, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. She didn't see it the right way, did she? Oftentimes, we don't see it the right way. But here's what we do see about her. Listen. She was humble. Amen. She was not saying, oh, I know. She was not arrogant about it. She said, no, listen, I want you to understand something. You know, she thought, we deserted Bethlehem. We left Bethlehem. And maybe not because of that, but because of all that she experienced. She lost her husband. She lost her sons. And now she has nothing for her daughter-in-laws. And she's saying, you know, for whatever reason, maybe she didn't know exactly what was going on or why it was happening. But God was not done with her. She thought it was all over for her and that the hand of God was against her. But that was not the case. But the important part was that she was humble. Do you see her humility? Do you see that this relationship that she had with her daughters-in-law, how genuine it was, how loving it was? You don't hear that a lot today. Between in-laws, between whether it be the mother and father-in-law or the son and daughter-in-law, right? A lot of times there's like, oh, you know, criticize and, you know, this back in the, whatever it might be with that, whatever in-law it might be. And you never get the love of God like that. And so these people were genuine and a compassion. And you know what they could do? They could overlook each other's flaws. They were not perfect people. Nobody's perfect, right? So no doubt there were things, but see, love overrode whatever irritant there might be. And that's the way to see what that requires, somebody who is humble before the Lord, you know, because but for the grace of God, we have done things that were not right in the sight of God. And we have been unkind when we shouldn't be unkind. And so let's give the love of the Lord. It's easy to love when it's easy, right? When everything's going our way. But the best time to really show the love of God is when it's undeserved. Hasn't God given us his blessing and his love undeserved? And so how should we give the love of God that is indwelling us? How shall we give the love of God that is indwelling us? Let me say that again. How shall you and I give the love of God that indwells us through the Holy Spirit? Shall we just give it to the people that we think deserve it, and that's it? No. And then the other ones, these people, throw them away. God never did that to you and I. How shall we treat people that mistreat us? How did the Lord say? How about that? What did the Lord say? Love those that hate you and persecute you and use you and abuse you. You know what? Well, you know what? There's an ingredient. You know why we don't do that? There's something that is needed. You know what that is? Humility. Humility that comes from the Lord. Because you and I don't deserve it. But when we start judging who should get the love of God and who shouldn't get the love of God, we're not following after the Lord, are we? We're looking at ourselves as the ones who decide when they should do it and when we should do it. But the truth of the matter is that God's commanded us to do it how often? All the time. And why won't we do it? Because we're not allowing God to rule us and to lead us. Because if God were, I'm going to ask you this question. If God were ruling us and leading us in all that we do and say, wouldn't we give the love of God out freely and always? Absolutely. So if we're not doing that, is there not a problem in our own hearts? Isn't that where the problem's at, in our own hearts? And so she had something worth having, didn't she? See, she made a sacrifice by humbling herself. And the way to humble ourselves is to die to self. To not think too much of ourselves. Because when we get offended, tell me if this is not the truth. Here's what we're saying. We're not saying it with our words, but here's what we're thinking or feeling. How dare you do that to Almighty me? So we're saying, we're thinking too much. How dare you do that to me? Instead of saying, is the Lord not in control in every situation and circumstance? Does the Lord not know when things don't go our way? And so, Lord, I need you to crucify my flesh every day, because if not, I will think more of myself than you told me I should. And so I want to follow you and yield to you and give the love of God how often? All the time. All the time. And it takes a purposeful mind and heart to pursue, engage the Lord in that truth. If we don't think about that, we'll never do it. If we don't think, you know what? The Lord is right. I ought to love those that are not kind to me. If we never look at it from that perspective, we'll never be kind to those who are unkind to us. But is that not the command of God? So, Lord, enable me to be kind and loving to those who are unkind and loving to me. Is that not the will of God? Listen, don't you think that pleases the Lord to no end? Do you know why? Because, bless the Lord, chip off the old block. Right from the heart of God. See, that's what he's concerned about, that we would be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we look at this, look at the love of Naomi here for her daughters. And he says, hey, listen, if I were to have a husband tonight, are you going to wait for them? Look at verse 13. Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth much me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Now, I'm not going to say anything against Orpah. She was the one that made that decision, and Naomi was encouraging her to do that, this godly woman. But this, the Lord knew all about this. And she was going to go back to her family and what she knew. But you know what, Ruth? See, we want to look at this amazing story about Ruth. You know what she saw? She saw a God that you could see nowhere else in the life of Naomi. She saw a God that she wanted to pursue. She saw a God that did something for her that no person or no other God could do in the life of Naomi. And she said, I like what she has. So much so, listen to this. She was willing to leave her home, her family, and go to another strange land where nobody knew her and she knew nobody. She didn't know a single soul but Naomi, and that was it. And she said, but if your God is anything like this, then your people are like this. Isn't that great? And so here she was. And she says, nope, I'm going to cleave to Naomi. That's good, isn't it? Verse 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law. Listen, Naomi's not giving up. Look at her. She's gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. You know, the Lord is saying, really, he tells us, if we're really going to be a disciple of the Lord, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, consider the cost. Consider the price. I mean, anybody can call themselves a Christian. That's easy to do. You don't have to consider the cost for that. I can go throw on a jersey to any pro football team. They'd laugh at me, but I could do it. And I can claim that I'm one of their players. They'd tell me I'm crazy, right? That's easy to do. But to say I'm going to follow in the paths. I'm going to walk by the love of God, I don't want to just be one in name only. I want to be one in deed. Amen? In all truth, through and through. In every area of my life, that's a disciple. That's a learner, a follower after the Lord. In every area of my life, may Christ be glorified. No compartments. We don't have compartmentalized Christianity where we just say, well, over here God can have and over here this is mine. This is my department. Whether I want to get upset, I'm going to give my. Well, wait a minute. Who are we following? And who does God want us to follow? So this is important. And this is what makes the difference in a life. See, the more committed we are to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we're going to experience Him. If we open up every compartment in our life to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, it's all yours. Do with it as you will. Show me your will. Show me your way for my life. Now we're doing something with the Lord, aren't we? Now we're not just saying, well, yes, I'm saved and that's all good and well. Now the rest is mine. See you later, Lord. I'll see you in heaven. No. We've been bought with a price, haven't we? And all of us, you know, we belong wholeheartedly to the Lord, whether we give that to Him or not, and it's our choice. God just says, I want you to love me. I want you to prove me because you want to. You don't have to want to. But then we just go this far and no further into the grace of God. And we never learn how to love those like the Lord did. And we never learned how to walk on this side of eternity like the Lord did. But there's a lot to learn and grow in on this side of eternity in the grace of God. But some believers go this far and no further, bless God, and they're not moving. I shall not be moved, but in the wrong way. We should be drawing nearer to the Lord and the world behind us. Amen? So watch this. Look at verse 15 again. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, listen to this. She's saying, I want you to know my heart, mother-in-law. I want you to know how I feel about what I'm doing. I want you to know that I have made a decision, I have made a commitment, and I am not changing. Right? So she's pleading with them. Several times she's pleaded with them, right? Both of them. Orpah finally left. And now Ruth says, verse 16, Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. In other words, please, in all love and all kindness, don't ask me or to return from following after thee. I don't want to leave you, and I don't want to return from following after thee. You know why? I'm convinced she saw the love of God in her. Amen. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. She was wanting to know the God of Israel as she saw it in Naomi's life. She's saying, you know, you and I cannot get to the end of the grace and love of God when we pursue him. We cannot get to the end. And she saw that and she said, man, every time I get around Naomi, she always has something encouraging, something uplifting, something amazing about the blessings and the mercy and the love of God. I want to know more. So she says, listen, I want you to know that I'm taking all of you. Isn't that good? Can you imagine how that made? Naomi's at the bottom place, in a low place, still walking in the love of God. And now she was just encouraged because this was a commitment from Ruth saying, listen, I am committed. I want your people to be my people. Amen. I want your God to be my God. And where they bury you, may they bury me there as well. She was committed, wasn't she? Amen. What drove her to that commitment? Love. The Lord. The love of God. The love of God drew her there. And unless we're willing to let the love of God work in us like that, we're not going to draw anybody. It's got to be the love of God that is seen in us. And we've got to pursue that for ourselves where the Lord will work in our lives. So, verse 17, she says, where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so. Now she's not, look, remember? Naomi was talking about the Lord. Now she's gonna say the same thing. She's probably already saved here, right? But she's wanting more of the Lord. But notice this, the Lord do to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. That's pretty powerful. She was making a commitment to her. She was saying, I want you to know that I am giving this before the Lord. This is me following the Lord in my life. So when she saw that, what happened in verse 18? When she saw that she was committed to the Lord in doing this, she understood. She says, what she was saying is, I believe this is the Lord's will for my life. Amen. That I'm going to follow you. Wow. That's amazing. She was drawn to follow the Lord through a human vessel. Yes. Through a human being compelled her to follow after the Lord. Is that the way of the Lord? Absolutely. When we shine the love of God, people are drawn to the Lord. Didn't Jesus say, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself? He talked that could signify the cross. Yes, absolutely. But does it not also signify the life of Christ being lifted up in the life of the believer? Was not Christ lifted up in the life of Paul? And weren't countless souls won for the glory of God because the Lord was lifted up in the life of the Apostle Paul? God can do that in your life and mine as well. But we have to be aware of that to pursue that. We have to be aware and say, yes, God's including me on that. If I will be a follower after the Lord Jesus Christ in every area of my life, completely yielded to him and not me. No room for the flesh. Lord, help me to discern what the flesh is and what the spirit is. And when I see the flesh, Lord, may it shame me and grieve me. And weigh me down and make me feel ashamed that I would lose my commitment to my Savior and raise up myself and sit on the throne that belongs to the Lord alone of my life, that he might be the ruler and the one who reigns supreme in my life for the glory of God. So what happens here? Verse 18. When she saw that, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her. Then she left speaking unto her. She said, you know what? She has made up her mind. She has let me know this is God's will for her. May God bless her in all of this. You know what was involved now? Now, Naomi said, okay, we're going to trust the Lord in this. She was, no doubt she was thinking, you know, she's going to die an old maid. There's not going to be anything, you know, if she's been married once, she wants to be married. She's not going to have any kids. She's not going to get married. She can have my inheritance. There's, you know, she can have that because she loved her. And you can have it. If this is what you want to do. But the good news is, she's at least going to the place where the Lord God Almighty dwelt. So she's going to get the Lord. And that's a great prize, isn't it? And then on top of it all, she did get a husband, didn't she? And we're not going to go there, but if you'd go back there and read when she went to the threshing floor there and she got down and she comes back. Ruth does and tells Naomi the story. She says, oh, he's not going to rest. He's not going to rest now. He's all excited. He's interested. Who would have ever thought? He's a near kinsman of all the places that you could have happened to go. You went to the right place to find a husband. Not just a husband, but the one who they didn't even know would be used to bring in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. What an amazing story, is it not? And what is our story? If it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an amazing story, beginning with salvation and pointing people by the love of God. See, listen, here, the love of God does not work this way, all right? The love of God does not work like this. Well, I'll love and God will bless me. I'll love, but here's how I'm going to love. I'm going to love them, but I'm not going to love them. I'm going to be kind to them, but I'm not going to be kind to them. The love of God never goes out that way. The love of God, it does not discriminate. See, so if we are discriminating on the love of God, that's not the love of God. You know whose love that is? It's our love. That's our love. Is God lifted up by our love or by His love? By His love in us. Do we have God's love in us? Yes, the Holy Spirit's there. As a saved child of God, the Holy Spirit's there. But here's the decision tonight. You will make it tonight. You will say, meh, you know, whatever. Or you will say, no, that's a good point. I mean, that's the truth. Do I want the love of God to dwell in me and to be lifted up? If so, then that means everybody gets it. Everybody gets it. To our death. The death of the flesh. You can't be on the throne and the love of God come out. Won't work. We have to be dead to self in every area, and we have to be steadfast and unmovable in the love of God and say, no, that is not the love of God. The flesh must be crucified. And every time we see the flesh rear up its ugly head, we've got to bring it to the Lord. Lord, crucify this. Show me how to walk in the love of God and how to really enjoy. You know, it was not painful for the Lord to love those that did not love him. You remember when Judas betrayed him? He said, and I'm just paraphrasing, what doest thou, ready, friend? Isn't that amazing? He loved Judas even though he betrayed him to his own demise. Father, forgive them, the ones that were crucifying him. That's undeserved love. To people that did Jesus just have to say that, or he said it because he loved them? God will give us his love to love the unlovable. And now we know in that we're in step with the Lord. And we'll be at awe. Lord, I could never have loved them. We know what we do. And when God can love the unlovable through us, we begin to see the amazing work of God. And that's what made Ruth an amazing story. And that's what will make your story and my story an amazing story if we pursue the love of God for His honor and glory. Would you stand with me as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy, undiscriminating, Lord, to each and every one of us, unyielded, completely given at all times. What a great God we serve. Lord, may you open up our hearts and minds to see that that's what you want to do and perform. You want to perform that in our lives, but we must humbly approach you and ask you to perform that work in our lives for your honor and glory and for our blessing. What a way to live this life in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, genuine love that can even love those that are unlovable, even as we were in your sight at one time, and yet you still loved us. What a blessing. Bless, Lord, tonight, and open up our hearts and draw us closer to you, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.